Welcome to the Deeper Dating Q&A, where I answer your most pressing personal questions about love, sex, and intimacy in a way that lets you apply these insights to the particulars of your own love life so that you can leave this episode with new possibilities and revelations about your own love life. So stay tuned to the Deeper Dating Podcast.
If you've ever been disillusioned, disappointed, or discouraged in your search for love, and you know there has to be a better way to find the healthy, soul-filling love you've always longed for, then you've discovered the podcast for you. I know, as Ken's work personally has led me to find the love of my life. So here's your host of Deeper Dating, Ken Page.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Deeper Dating Podcast. I'm Ken Page. I'm a psychotherapist. I'm the author of the best-selling book, Deeper Dating, and I am so glad to be here with you. Today is going to be a Q&A session. I'm going to take your questions about love and sex and intimacy and answer them here in a way that hopefully sheds light on really important issues for most of the people who are listening. In this episode and every episode, my commitment is to share with you the greatest tools and skills and insights that I know to help you find healthy love and keep it flourishing and heal your life in the process, because the skills of dating are the skills of intimacy, which are the greatest skills of all. And if you want to learn more about the Deeper Dating Path to Intimacy, just go to deeperdatingpodcast.com. You can join my mailing list. You will get a whole bunch of free gifts, find out about lots of resources, and I would just love to have you in my community of learning. So let's jump in. The first question is from someone who has been dating a woman who's been dating a guy for a few months. It's really nice. They're having a lot of fun. But recently, they have begun to be more sexual, and she's experiencing that it's hard to achieve orgasm. It's hard to kind of open up on a deeper level sexually. And she's pretty clear on why that is. What she says, which I think is fantastic, is she says there's not enough cuddle time. There's not enough integration of like thinking about Eros and being sexy before the sex. And they only see each other once a week. And also, she's kind of more used to maybe narcissistic kind of guys who did like a lot of love bombing and were like 1,000% there from the beginning. And this guy is kind of not that way. He's more appropriate in that way. But she's saying, what do I do about this? What do I do about these problems? Because he's a really nice guy. What should I speak up? What should I say? So, first of all, I just want to say the very fact that you are not attributing this to a problem with your sexual response, but clearly saying, like, I know what I need to get my engines going, and it's integration of sex into lots of other things. It's more expression of love, it's more physicality, and it's more cuddle time and more connection. You are so far ahead of so many people who might first think, what's wrong with me that I can't open up sexually? And that's something I want to say to everybody here. If you have questions about your ability to open up sexually, to orgasm, if you have sexual issues, all of those things definitely can be and need to be addressed. But I think usually a wonderful place to start is, what needs are not being met that might trigger my not being sexually engaged the way I would like to be? Which brings up all these different questions. There are three basic, huge questions that we all need to ask ourselves around sex. One is, what do I need to feel safe emotionally? So maybe you need to have more connection and more sense of safety and security. Also, she said that they're not seeing their boyfriend, girlfriend yet, which she thinks is understandable because it's only been a few months, but that's not going to be understandable forever for her. So the first question is, what makes you feel emotionally safe? Safety is number one in sex. And then second, what touches your heart? What opens your heart in sex? And the third, and these are ways that people can discover their sexual core gifts by answering these three very, very, very important questions. And the third one is, what turns you on sexually? What is sexually exciting for you? And I feel like every one of those questions is a journey into empowerment. What really makes me feel emotionally safe? Even if I don't understand why, what do I need? I'll be right back after this. If you're interested in accelerating and deepening your search for love, I want to invite you to a very special project, the Deeper Dating Intensive. I only offer it twice a year, and it's a 6-month journey working closely with me and an amazing community to transform each member's search for love. And you can learn more at deeperdatingintensive.com. And if it feels like a match, on that page you can set up a free one-on-one session with me to explore possibilities. I look forward to connecting if this speaks to you. Welcome back. And then the second question, which is, what touches my heart in sex? What kind of pacing? What kind of eye contact? What kind of communication? And that's another question that I have for the woman who asked this question is, like, is there eye contact during sex? Is there that sense of connection? I remember seeing a movie where this one woman said to the guy that she was with, what I love about you is you're the same guy before sex, during sex, and after sex. It's still you. You don't become a different person. So I'm wondering if this guy is able to show his affection in sex too, because that's a really important thing. The next point that I want to make is the fact that you previously were dating narcissist type people, and now you're not. That's huge. That signifies probably a shift in you, which is a shift that I work really hard with the people who are in my intensives to develop. That shift where it may not be as wildly and insanely exciting as first, like that excitement of like just feeling so love bombed. And then there's the excitement of the person then disappearing or pulling back, and then the agony of that and the wanting to get them back. And then if they do come back, there's the excitement around that. It's like very roller coastery and very spicy and grabs us in our deepest places. But the experience of being with someone who is good and decent and appropriately available from the beginning has less of that spicy drama in it. It's got something really wonderful, and it's got something that can grow. And when Eros is combined with goodness, safety, and stability, well, then you picture a future that is both peaceful, happy, and exciting. And I think that's the future we want. But it does involve a little bit developing a different taste, because those kind of attractions can build slower. So I think you're doing everything right. And I think the next step, and this is such a big, big, big one, is to talk and share. Every one of your needs is valid, and you want to share those. And here's the thing. Sharing what you need can be experienced as an act of generosity. If you do it in a transactional way, like this is what I need and this is what you're not giving me, that won't be experienced in a generous way. But when you tell the other person what you like about the connection and then talk about what it would mean to you and how much it does mean to you to have the other pieces and how good that would feel, how much that would mean to you and what your experience would be, then they get the feeling that they get to be a better partner and get to be generous if they are that kind of person. So it's a huge filter for you. How is he going to respond? This guy, from what you're saying, has signs that he will respond well, but you may be asking him to stretch in ways that he might not be used to stretching. And so that may take a little bit of time, but you'll notice, does he seem willing? Or does he blame you? Does he make you wrong? Does he gaslight you? Those would be really concerning signs if he did that. And of course, it's going to be a process. It's going to be a process of him warming up, you warming up. But someone in one of my intensives said something so wise once. We were talking about, how do you find out if you're in an attraction of deprivation or an attraction of inspiration more early on so you don't get disappointed? And she said, don't shelve your big asks. Let yourself ask your big asks. Don't be afraid to do that early on. You want to do it in a way like I described, from that kind of generous place. But when you do that, you find out so much more quickly if this person is the kind of person that you want to be with. So I think you have an adventure ahead of you in this connection, but it sounds like a good connection, and it sounds like you have grown so much, which is wonderful. So the next question is from someone who is in her 80s and single. And she described having an early relationship that lasted a good amount of time and was a good relationship, but to her it was not exciting enough at the time. And she went into another relationship that was very exciting, but she kind of described that as too exciting. And now she is in her 80s, single, has learned a lot, and really would love a relationship, but is asking, so how do I do that in my 80s? And what's the opportunity for me? What's the possibility for me in this situation? So that's a poignant question. And I don't want to be Pollyanna-ish about this, but I have some things to say that I think are sources of hope. And I will say them and say them really clearly. But I want to begin by just acknowledging the very real challenge of that. The challenge of, you know, for one thing, being a woman in your 80s, and most of the guys, I mean, this is just something that happens a lot, is that often the guys that you meet in your age range either are looking for someone younger or are kind of immature or maybe are kind of like stuck in old-fashioned ways that might feel disempowering or disconnected from who you are in the way that they see you as a woman. And then the whole issue of just people in their 80s and in their 70s and in their 60s and in their 90s looking for love and wondering, how possible is this? And then I think, too, for women who were in places where the men, the heterosexual women, where the men that they meet are kind of like, maybe in some ways, like stuck in old-time sexist views a little bit more. I want to acknowledge all of those challenges, plus the general challenge of being older. And it's not like you're going to go on Match.com or Tinder or Hinge and have that be easy. So I just want to acknowledge the realities of those difficulties. But now I want to universalize this a little, because so many of us have challenges that are very, very complex. We might be on the spectrum. We might have disabilities. We might be neurodiverse. We might live in an area where there is nobody like us. We may live in an area where people's politics are profoundly different than ours. For my book, Deeper Dating, I interviewed a lot of people. And some of the stories were quite amazing. One guy whose legs didn't work, and he was actually a world famous dancer. He danced on his hands. He was single when he came to New York from Africa, and his story is amazing. I know somebody in their 90s who fell in love like in a very deep and profound way. I know someone who became quadriplegic and then met his great love. I know people who were diagnosed with AIDS and then found their beloved. I know a lot of stories like this, which lead me to believe that it's not just about the numbers game we're taught it's about. And I believe that deeply. So I want to say a few things. I think that in a way, the primary relationship needs to be to your own soul, to your own heart, to your own growth, to your own sexual self, to your own spiritual self, emotional self. And I don't mean that to say, well, at least you'll have yourself. I don't mean that at all. What I mean is that the deeper your love relationship with your authentic self is, the braver you are in expressing that in the world, and the more you marry that with your very real need for intimacy, the more likely magic will happen. There's a deeper physics at work here. And I know this because I've been a therapist for decades, and I have seen again and again that the way we are organized determines our field. Like, are we organized around our defenses, or are we organized around our authentic self? Those determine like your magnetism in some strange way in the world. And I've seen that again and again. And I've seen that in my life as well. What led me to love was not being like really, really buff and wildly in shape and young, because I was those things. And it didn't lead me one drop closer to love, to sex maybe, but not to love. And it was my learning to love my soul, my essence, to unshame that part of me and come forward as who I am, that was the direct reason that I was able to find and keep love. The journey's different than we are taught. So I guess what I'm saying is it's a combo of things. You know, and these are the things that I teach in all of my work. A, don't do it alone. Have a coach, have a guide, have a learning partner. Don't do it alone. It's too hard. It's too lonely. It's too bitter at certain moments. And we are kind of recalcitrant. We go back into our old patterns, especially when we're triggered or around really charged areas. And God knows the search for love is a charged area. We need people to help us. I really believe that. So I would say that to you first. That's why I do my intensives. That's why my book, my course, everything I do asks people to have learning partners. I believe in that so deeply. And it changed my life, the help I got. I mean, I directly attribute my finding the love that I found to help from other people. And then the other piece is a kind of spiritual help, an asking the universe, asking your deeper self, asking your higher power to help with this. And then listening for the whispers of insight about what do you need to shift in yourself? What do you need to change in yourself? How are you holding yourself back? How might you be pushing people away? And many people would say, it ain't me. I'm not pushing people away. I am looking. And I would say, yes, the external parts are true. But anybody who just really believes it ain't me has work to do. Because all of us have clay feet when it comes to intimacy. All of us have next step lessons around intimacy in an ongoing way. If you think you don't, then you will assume that the reason everything doesn't work out is because of your partner or because of the world. So it's humbling to say, wow, there's stuff I have to change, but it's liberating as well. So that's the other piece that I would say is do the work and also ask for help and listen for the whispers of wisdom that you get. Because if you're open to that, you will get those whispers of wisdom and then you follow them. And that's really hugely important. And those steps are not everything. We have to add in another ingredient, and that ingredient is bravery. Like, you gotta get out there. And, you know, I always recommend a hybrid approach, online dating. And then, you know, for folks who are older, there are good dating sites for people who are older. And I know lots of people have met people through sites for folks who are older. I'd really encourage you to look around for that. Then also finding online communities of people who share your interests and values and are just social and open to chatting. That's a great, great way. And then going to events with people who share your deep values. And here's what I found. Intellectual events, even if they're connected to deeper values, don't work as well as heart-based events. Events where people are in connection with their emotions tend to work better. But I guess that depends on the person. But I've seen that a lot. Yeah, you got to get out there. You got to get out there. And that's another reason for a coach, an intensive, or just the support of a learning partner, because it's really hard to get out there. But I so deeply encourage you to do that because your being is ready. And I support you fully in embracing your need for a relationship. So the last piece that I'm going to talk about is someone who talked about, and this is kind of really connected, dealing with ongoing chronic health issues, which are debilitating for her. And the difficulty that you confront in that situation because of the time that you need, because of the things that you can't do, because of the ways in which you're held back, because of the grief, the pain, the frustration around that, because of this kind of whole other thing that demands so much energy, so much time, so much patience, so much ambitious effort at healing, and also asks a lot of the people you date, because you might not be able to show up all the time. You might need to be taking care of yourself in ways that are more than other people would do who are not dealing with a chronic condition. This person was in a situation where she was treated really poorly by her ex, who said to her, nobody is going to want to deal with that. In this case, no man is going to want to deal with your conditions, which was, you know, an incredibly cruel thing to say. And I think the same thing applies as to what I said to the woman who was in her 80s. This is really real stuff. And in no way do I want to minimize that. It's huge. It's difficult. It is challenging. Many people would not be available for that. But many people would. And in a certain way, it's a filter. It's a filter because you would need to be with someone who is patient and generous and had a sense of space and allowed you a sense of space and was supportive and had language to speak to you about what your needs were and what your situation is in a way that just feels good. And I swear to you that those people are out there. So for you as well, I would say definitely, 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 you deserve to hope. And also, she described this other person described a deep longing for love. And I think that that longing for love is one of the greatest tools that you have. I would say to you as well, to look at what ways you might need to be growing. I'm not saying that you have caused this problem, but I am saying that all of us, no matter what our challenge is, need to be open to how love is trying to reform us and reshape us and what it's asking of us and what it's calling from us. I think there's that the people who are willing to do that work are just some of the most precious people in the world. And I get to witness doing my work again and again, how those people shift, change, transform, shift their field, are brave and vulnerable, and have more wonderful luck in their search for love. This is not a black and white thing. The challenges are very real, but I think this deeper process is also so at work. And I've seen what have felt like miracles in my life and in the lives of so many people that I've worked with and so many people that I know who have chosen to do the deeper, richer work because your soul, the deepest parts of you, have magic. This combination of doing the work, opening yourself, being brave, being who you really are and leading with that, there is an essence, there's a perfume, there's a scent, there's something that is magical to the right person. And when you tap into your essence, people recognize that. And also you build kind of what's really at the heart of a visceral love relationship with yourself. And that's not just about acceptance or saying you're great or it's all those things. But it's a visceral love relationship with the essence of who you are, the deepest parts of who you are, the truest, most authentic, most brave, most original parts of who you are. That's love. That's love. And as we learn to love ourselves in that way, our luck in love changes. And this is really, really good news. Thank you all for listening to this Q&A episode. I'm so grateful and privileged to get to do this with you. And I look forward to connecting on the next episode of the Deeper Dating Podcast.
And that's it for today's episode of Deeper Dating. Be sure to go to deeperdatingpodcast.com as Ken has a few more gifts for you. Then join us on the next episode.